Okay, we're getting up and running again. It's Wednesday night. It's time for the Joy of Sacrifice. And we're working our way through the book, The Joy of Sacrifice by E.J. Gold, and we're on Sacrifice 12. Sacrifice 12 is the sacrifice of existence. Ordinary life is the subtitle. That's where we are. We've been down a lot of roads now. The work, and some of you were with us when we did the HBM class and the practical work on self class before that, and the HBM class before that. The work that you're doing to show up is cumulative, and it is having an effect. And it's an interesting thing, but it's important to notice. The thing that is paying you back is the effort that you are putting in. The effort at attention is the effort that creates the ground in which this growth takes place. It's the fundamental concept of what transformation is. We're not going to go back through the entire HBM to explain that. But if you read HBM, I can't remember which chapter it is, but George might, where there's a specific definition of transformation, and it has to do with the exercise of your attention, of awakening the machine, and starting to stand in a different place. And that's what the last three chapters, the last three sacrifices have been about. So let's proceed with this particular sacrifice. Once again, with a very, very short reading, and it makes it yet that much more difficult. So last week we were supposed to sacrifice the guru and become the guru. And I know that a couple of people actually attempted that exercise during this last week, and it was an enormous chore for them. And we got clarification from Silverdale, where he's talking about that the new master has arrived, that the machine, in a sense, is no longer the master. The machine is, Ivan, the machine is just the default master. It's the default, because that's, we wake up, we're little children, we're born, and we're sitting there in this intuitive wonder state, with big W, state of wonder, and we don't know how to operate in the world, so what do? We look around us to get examples, and quickly we begin to form the psyche or the machine, and that becomes our signature. Because you look around, you get any form of community, and you have people from different parts of the country, and they are different types. One type looks at another type and has no idea how they survive in the world. The other type looks back at that other type and says, how do you survive in the world? And the answer is somehow both have done it. And they've both learned that mechanical transactions, really, just from their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their aunts, and their uncles. That's the truth of it. Now, where we are now is we're saying, thank you to the human biological machine. Thank you for getting me to this point. Thank you for providing me with a vehicle that can allow my essential self to begin the process of transformation. Now, some of us are burdened with different types of machine issues, and some have difficult machine issues at the moment. And in a certain way, in the continuum of this very, very short life, you know, we're just, it's all just a panorama of movement. When we get to a certain place and look back on it, it's standing in the essential self in those moments that we harvest. And that's where we put the money, our pennies in the bank, so to speak. Okay? That's where we are today. And so, Ivan, we're on chapter 12. or sacrifice number 12.
Right.
It's the sacrifice of existence and ordinary life. So let's work our way through this. As usual, the shorter these things are, the more difficult they often are. So once, just even look at the chapter heading, the sacrifice of existence. It's the sacrifice of existence in ordinary life. These are not simple things. These are difficult things that we're talking about here. Okay, at this stage, one returns to the practices given in the sacrifice of comfort, the first stage of real work. I thought we were done with that sacrifice, Simon.
Doesn't look like it.
We have to go back again and give up comfort again?
That check for that was the austerity.
Oh,
program.
Man. Okay.
Back to the austerity.
At this stage, check this out. At this stage, one returns to the practices given in the sacrifice of comfort, the first stage of real work. Now, the work schedule takes up one's entire day. I'm obviously going to ask the question, what does that mean? How could it be that the work schedule can take up one's entire day? People are busy, Ivan. People are busy doing stuff. They've got to go to work. They've got to deal with their kids. They've got to go to bed at night, right? Got to watch, and of course we're missing the big game tonight, but that's another story. And watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. So pray always. How is it possible to pray always? And this, of course, was the question that was posed by the poor pilgrim, and the pilgrim finds his way, the Russian Orthodox work that came out of the Philokalia, and here the pilgrim starts on his journey, and he reads this, pray always. How do I do that? And he found the method. In essence, the method is that you live this fruitful life from your essential self. It is feeding you. It is becoming. It's alive all the time. How do we do that? Really difficult. You got to practice. It's just like playing a musical instrument. I mean, I've listened to people that play musical instruments, and I consider them really, really good. And they know that in a certain way they're just beginning, because they see the vista ahead of them. Okay, so the work schedule takes up one's entire day. We'll come back to that. And if you have a sense of what that means for you, go ahead and write it in the log. And I've just found out, I think, how to post the logs. I've got some from Guillermo and Simon Templar, and I'll be able to put them up. Okay, now, the only difference as we now return to the sacrifice of comfort, the only difference is that now one may give service outside the community of work. What's that? What does it mean? Help us out here. One may take the role of teacher, allowing the method to channel through oneself for the benefit of others. How can we even approach this thing? Does anybody out there have an answer? Ivan, you have the answer. He said,
Why should I have?
Because you're right there.
No, I see. It's just convenient for me to have the answer.
It's convenient for me that you have the answer.
Yeah, right.
All right, anybody, any of the phone jockeys have the answer? What do some of these things mean? Let's start with a question posed by Pianjo. And what is the community of work? Let's just focus on that for a moment. Molly, is there anybody commenting on that?
And that's an idea from Gurdjieff that you
can you repeat what minimum, she, can you repeat what Molly said?
That
Piaggio, right?
His statement was that perhaps being in the community of work, is that right? Means the whole day.
Which means the work schedule takes up one's entire day.
It takes up your entire day. It means you're making a living with your left hand only, which is to say, with a minimum of effort, you earn your...
Say it again, Molly, the first part. So Arya tells us that for a period of time, in the beginning, we could only do these efforts part of the day. Now we can do them longer, all day. So Mark tells us that it means keeping a constant thread of essence awareness. And practicing honoring the teachings in any given situation. But you go to the bank, and you go to cash a check at the bank, and you're standing there in with the tellers there, people, there's this big long line. You got to get back because you have a short lunch. And the teller is really upset. I mean, they say, well, you don't have enough ID, this is wrong, I'm not sure. Are you doing the work right then?
You can be.
How? I mean, you're at the bank. What does that have to
do
with doing the work?
How do you do your prayer all day?
Well, if I may say something, David, regarding that, the analogy of the pilgrim, is that now we are extending permanently through the day that gravity center. In the case of the pilgrim, is the heart. And in our case, is our heart will be that essential self. It's an attitude that we carry during the day. It's not anymore, like Aurea said, it's not anymore a moment, that beachhead that we talked before. Now it's during the whole day.
What was the last sacrifice? The last sacrifice had to do with giving up, and the analogy, I use it as an analogy, to become the guru. So the master, a new master comes forth. The master returns to the house, to the mansion. The master returns, and that master is the essential self. And so if we can stand and place our 2 feet in that position. Now, I keep asking the question, how do you actually do that? So I'm sitting there with this snarly bank teller telling me what's wrong with me. How do I then stand in that position? How do I even find that position?
Well, I can take a breath. I can back off from that machine reaction, from being reactive, from immediately jumping into the fray with whatever interaction is being offered.
Nice.
You know,
this,
I'm doing a prayer. If
underline
I'm, if
that.
I'm having a prayer, you know, a practice, it seems to me in our practice, what I'm going to be doing is I'm self-remembering all day. I'm remembering this essential self. Invoking my presence,
okay,
as the essential self.
So we talked about this idea of being able to find the essential self, find our way back to it, and we can. And our guide is the guide of sensing. We can sense our way back to that posture. We use a particular kind of GPS, which is centered on a form of mood. It's a type of mood, not a reactive emotional mood, but rather it's an internal sensing. And that's what we need to work on. So when you are in the essential self, and right now you have the opportunity right this second to stand in that position, what does it feel like? What is the vibratory sensation right now? right now. There you go. Good. Do you remember this? So when you're in a strange position, in a strange environment, locked into a position you don't want to be in, whether it's with other people, in a type of maybe you're in a physical place that's unusual and different and frightening, can you find your way back to this moment? The answer is yes. It is available. Is it easy? It is not easy. But Ivan gave us the key. He says, whatever is being offered to us at that moment, that's what the Absolute is offering us. They're offering us that situation. And the snarly bank teller or clerk or whatever it is, what if you gave them back a sincere back, non-reactive moment, just for one moment of their day? Do you think they might notice that? They might notice that. And if you can do that, and you can make the effort, because you are able to, and that might explain the very last phrase in this sentence, in this paragraph, to channel through oneself for the benefit of others, allowing the method to channel through oneself for the benefit of others. Now, if you do this because you want people to know how cool you are, whoops, game over, baby.
Well, you can handle that just by dressing right.
Hey, by the way, David, Mark Roach gives a terrific illustration of all this from his own experience. Apparently, he went into a car agency that charged his card an extra $700 without his permission, and the domino effect caused 9 different insufficient fund notices. So it wasn't easy for him to maintain his presence, but he half succeeded. And then later went to the place and was really pleased to have been able to stay calm and courteous and peaceful, and everyone ended up feeling very good. So really, that's a good illustration of practical work on self, where you're trying to shift the center of gravity to your essential self. You're trying to make that a constant presence within you, and then when you go into the outer world, you allow the method to channel through you.
You allow the method to channel through you, which means the work we can do is having a sense of when does that method and is that method actually flowing through us. And so that's something that we can do, is to work on our own sensing mechanism so we can know where we can stand in that place. So Mark, when he was working through this dealership problem, if he reacted, game over at that point. He was in simple reactivity. So if he can stand in the place called the allowing the method to channel through oneself, that's a position to stand in. It's a specific place.
Now, David, how about I remember myself as the Voyager?
Where's that from, Ivan?
From the Clear Light.
So in the Clear Light
prayer.
Which we can find in the American Book of the Dead.
Yeah, I'm bringing in another text from the Human Biological Machine is over here all the time now. This is the American Book of the Dead. If I remember myself as the Voyager, it also says in that Clear Light prayer, I am one, there is no other. So I have a question. Is Piangio on there tonight? I have a question for Piangio, maybe for Mark Roche. If I am channeling the teaching, if I'm sourcing this teaching, say as a Voyager walking through life, and now I'm thinking about the benefit of the other, and I'm in this situation with bank clerk, with the rental car agent, you know, in the office, in the rental car office, is that, are they, if I assume this mantle of the Voyager or the channel, you know, the source of this teaching, is that person, am I making that person a student? Am I making that person an acolyte, you know, an initiate for the moment or for the day or whatever?
Am I
bringing them into that relationship?
That's the opportunity you have at that time. The natural reaction to Mark or the bank teller is to react. That's what you're supposed to do. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, they were really a bastard. You should have said that to them. No, that's what the human does. The human thing does that. The point is that it's possible to stand in a different position. It is truly possible. And when you stand in a different position, what occurs is something different happens. Okay? And they get to see something different.
That's
they
what I'm
get to see
they,
something different.
They, do we do this as a, is it a practice? Is it my spiritual practice and my exercise, or is it something that I am an influence that I am bringing to other people?
You are.
Yeah.
If you're not stuck in the mechanicality of life, it's possible for you then to bring benefit to others, to bring the work to others. Maybe it's very moment, it's just for a single moment. A single moment. People are expecting to see reactivity, and suddenly they see freshness and wonder and creativity in a moment where reactivity is the name of the game. So, how do you...
It's Susan here.
Hey, Susan.
I just want to say how if you do that with people, they're really hungry for it. I mean, they react when you give them an essence reaction, they like it.
They like it because there's a breather. They're at the oasis for one moment in the desert of reactivity. And there's a moment, the fountain, the well is filled, and there's greenery that they can rest under the shade for just a moment. So let's flip it even another notch here and play on what Ivan was telling us of what is offered to us. What's offered to us is the events of our day. I know some of the things that are going to occur tomorrow in my day. I have a really, really complex tax issue. It doesn't matter what it is. But there's a large firm that did this particular tax thing. It may not be correct. In fact, I think that there's a mistake. This is a big deal. Not like $30, several hundred thousand. And so I bring this to this person. What's the guy going to do? His first response is to defend his ego. My response is going to be, gosh, let's figure out what do you think it should be? What could it be? What could be going on here? And help that person get into a moment of inquiry as well.
You could also blame it on the Federal Reserve.
Well, we don't need to blame it on anybody because that's what's offered to us in the day. So what unfolds for us tomorrow, later in the day, tonight, in the dark of night, what unfolds for us is what is being offered to us for our work and our particular transformation at that moment. So what occurs to you tomorrow or right now or later in the day, that's what, in a sense, the universe is saying, here's what you're ready for. Wrestle with this angel now. But know what you're doing, because if you're reactive, that too will be taken from you. Okay? Make sense?
I have a answer from Piangio here to Ivan's question.
Okay.
It says, to Ivan's question, yes, in that moment that person is your student, after the last sacrifice, this imaginary difference in status disappears.
Mm-hmm. That's
nice. That's good. I like
nice.
That idea.
Nice. The imaginary difference. It's not that we're... It's not that there's better, not less than better, good, bad, up, down. What it is that the method is looking desperately for a way to flow through onto a manifestation of the planet here. It wants vehicles that are willing to hold that. Ivan, what's the book where it says, oh, it's Life in the Labyrinth, lightning handlers always crackle?
Yeah, that's one of
the
chapter titles. Yeah.
Lightning handlers always crackle. And Piangelo, I think you're reading that book. The point is that if you're willing to hold that lightning, you're going to crackle sometimes, baby. It's the truth, but maybe it's okay, too. All right? So we understand that the mic of the phone is not recording. We're going to continue with the phone as it is only because... it's recording in a separate environment, but it's just not playing through the Gorbag TV. So I'll repeat what's being said on the phone as well. So anyway, there we are. Now, we haven't even looked at Chapter 1 yet, Sacrifice of Comfort.
No, I think it's a life of austerity, isn't it?
It's about
practices.
The sacrifice of comfort, life of austerity. I just made a couple of points on it, where it says, really, when I look at it again, I thought, when we give up comfort, what are we giving up? We're really giving up the comfort of living in the machine, and the comfort of the machine being our guide. And we're trying to find a different life here. Yeah, the austere life, Ivan, mm-hmm. where it's not a life of excess. We still haven't answered Pianja's other question, but I wanted to, real quickly, I'm at the last part here. I'm on page 160, okay? 160. One is expected to wage a continual struggle against the dominant habit, and to welcome any chance given by the teacher or other pupils for this effort. Okay, so sometimes this chance is not given by the teacher or other pupils, it's given by life. And life hands us something, or other pupils. In the sacrifice of comfort, one must consciously choose the path of struggle and actively seek from the teacher all possible tasks, efforts, and interpersonal frictions which produce potential for self-struggle. So some things are being offered to us. Are they difficult? Yes. Are they almost impossible? Yes. Do we have compassion and caring for our fellow students in those plights? Yes, we do. Our hearts go out to them and the work that they're doing. But hold ourselves in that position. The last, on page 161, the last paragraph, one is expected to be receptive by keeping silence, not all the time, but when it counts. On the other hand, one must not expect anything in return for one's efforts. That is so important. Here's a gift given. Listen. A gift given is a gift completed. It's just given to the other. When you have done that gift, you're done. If you have to expect something from the other, then it ain't a gift given, is it? It's a bargain of some sort.
It's a transaction.
It's a transactional.
You're talking about.
So a gift given is a gift completed. Done. You're done with it.
Suppose we add to that, you know, that interpersonal frictions, every opportunity to struggle, and so
yeah.
on. It seems the sacrifice that we've arrived at with the current one, sacrifice
of existence,
the sacrifice of ordinary life.
Ordinary
life. Yeah, there's an I think you touched on an interesting idea there that one of the things you. When I see EJ in so-called ordinary life, you know, EJ going to the grocery store, you know, visiting stores in Grass Valley or something, this is, you know, what you see actually is a sacrifice of ordinary life, because every one of these, every time that he talks to that clerk, you know, in a store or a stranger on the street or anybody that he talks to, that is you're seeing a work opportunity. And I actually remember him saying once something that I thought about a lot, and it comes back to me every once in a while, that, you know, I forget where, I was in a grocery store or someplace with him, and he, you know, he was in the checkout line, and no matter, you know, that there were people waiting behind, but he engaged like a clerk, you know, in a store in a long conversation about something at the store and, you know, whatever it was, they were joking and having a good time and all this kind of thing. And then he went out afterwards, and he said sometime later, he said, well, you know, this is like one pass. You're going to be here
right.
over and over again. This is the eternal recurrence idea. This conversation is going to be, I'm going to be revisiting and revisiting and revisiting. It's going to be met in parallel lives, let's say, or in recurrences of this moment. It's going to be happening over and over again. And there's going to be somewhere down the line, you know, on the 1,017th iteration, or the 1,000,000th and 867th repeat of that conversation, I'm going to bring up work ideas to that individual. You understand what I'm saying? It's like there is no, when you walk around town with EJ, there isn't actually any ordinary life. It's like you're everybody that you're encountering is a potential student of the work. And that conversation, today's conversation, may not be about work ideas, but this is basically what he's saying, is you never hesitate to engage somebody.
We never
interact, you know, to get in relationship with strangers, because it's your role to carry something there. Something is going through you, and if it doesn't, you know, at this time, if you talked about the weather, you know, or you talked about, you know, whether or not, you know, trout fishing is any good on the Yuba River, in this time conversation, it's like he's saying, well, that's an opportunity. It's like you've created a mark point in that person's life. It's an event that repeats many, many times. And
right.
it can be tweaked somewhere down the line to have a different outcome or a different content or something.
Well,
different significance. What's happening?
And maybe all you're going to do is talk about trout fishing. It is not the external here. And this is why we have to get in a different place in ourselves. We have to understand differently. You might simply be talking about trout fishing or apples or oil changes, but if you are in a different place, if you are in the place and you're holding the place called the method to channel, you allow the method to channel through you, then that's a work environment. So, you know what they say. You know what they say is that, like, you never know who's going to come on your path that day.
Well, it's guaranteed that if you go and walk around town with EJ, that's not an ordinary day.
That's not an ordinary day.
It's not ordinary life.
But what I'm saying right now, it's not an ordinary life for you either, Ivan.
Yeah, exactly.
When you walk around town, because you have a teeny little bit of allowing the method to channel through you.
Well, yeah.
And if you are willing, if you particularly,
and
me particularly, are willing to stand in the place called that some of the method is channeling through us, then great things, they are seemingly simplistic, but things happen, and we're called forth to be in that place during that moment. Because the person you talk to, maybe it's a gardener or somebody, or these maintenance guys that work on the house that I'm at, I sense that if there's a certain kind of simple presence between them, they will pick that up, not consciously, not in any linear manner. It's not like I'm talking to them about the teaching, but I'm standing in the teaching to the extent I can. And to the extent I can, then that little teeny weeny bit, they get. And guess what? Maybe that's what's needed to pass something on to their child. Because the child is looking for that little switch, mm-hmm. and something then can happen. Always be surprised by whom you meet. Always be in wonder by the next person that suddenly shows up in front of you. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, I would have to say I feel that I'm very irregular, you know, in regard to that, my attention to that, you know, that there are, I feel that there are moments when I experience that, and then there are a lot of expanses of time when I don't remember myself, you know, when I don't remember myself as the Voyager.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't experience, I'm not in that attitude. I'm not in that.
Thank God that we're all.
Let's say the machine is more dominant.
Maybe. Thank God that we're all Catholics, Jews, and Lutheran. Because then we can wallow in our guilt of what we didn't do. And, or you can have big brass balls and wallow in the small magical moments that you do have and know that you've brought that. Do you remember somebody named Julie, the writer? What's her name? Julie something?
Julie Glass?
No, not Julia, the Utah. And Julie, she worked at the video. She worked at the video store for years, and she was in your poetry club.
Okay.
You remember her?
Probably.
sure. With a V. There was a V in her last name.
Yeah, she's a writer.
Do you know
who
I mean?
Yeah, she's one of the local poets.
Okay. Ivan.
Julie.
And Ivan sitting here saying, gosh, I'm mostly asleep. Gosh, complain. Bellyache. Jewish. But he, for some reason, saw a spark in this young girl when she was a young teenager. And I remember because we had the offices over there in Wildwood. And
yeah, well, I think she was a college student.
She was
at the time, actually.
Or even young, but a young college student.
Yeah.
And you'd go down and you took her under your wing, and she is now a published poet. So that little made a difference in that person's life, quite a difference. So we're not without something. And part of this book, Joy of Sacrifice, the joy of sacrifice, is to allow ourselves to stand in that position. Now, and just embrace, maybe it's one moment a day, but have the guts to accept that responsibility of that one moment a day.
By the way, David, I think that the comments in Wings of Chaos for this chapter are very pertinent to this conversation. Harry asked the question, where does the work inside the community end and the work outside the community begin? Could it be that this imaginary line of duality is itself being sacrificed? And your response, we become more practiced in our discernment, Harry. We start to see the essential self in others as we stand there more ourselves. Then we can at times see that place in others as well. The members of the community are trained workers. We step outside and see there are others. Help then can proceed. It is a tricky and delicate matter. And then I really like Harry's response to your comment, which is, my yoga teacher once told me when I commented on how comfortable I felt in his presence that it's really very easy to establish rapport with people if you only talk to God within them. Essential self to essential self is always the preferred way to go.
So are people picking that up who aren't here? Online? Or?
Basically, what George is saying is, too, I'm not sure if you heard the comment on the phone, is he read the comments that Harry, myself, and then Harry's response from wingsofchaos.com, Joy of Sacrifice. Go on there, look at the comments if you didn't hear George. Okay, your ghosts and others can, if you would please, go on the website and read. That's what George did. He just simply read the responses there. And the concept is that where does the line of the work community end and help outside the community, so to speak, begin? And the idea is that we sacrifice the illusion that work is in the community only. And we sacrifice that and go forth and do what we can. Ivan says, we got this exampleship, I use the word exampleship here, we got this exampleship when we watch EJ in common,
outside
in
the work
common
yeah.
life, in a sense.
Yeah.
We then are now charged with the idea of doing that same thing for their fellow workers. You wouldn't right. believe what you can do.
Yeah, David, I'd like to say, I also didn't have a chance to address Pianjo's question, but I think that another answer to that might be that there's a statement that covers a lot of situations, which is that this is a teaching that comes alive in the transmission. So this is the story that's preserved in the telling. This is this is the method. It's a method that exists when it's summoned for the benefit of somebody else. So I think actually on the spur of the moment, I'm thinking that applies both within and without the community, within and outside the community.
It really does.
That it's the, there's different stages and there's different tasks or obligations in regard to the work. And, like packaging CDs and DVDs or sending out coins, from the shipping department here is a stage in having the work transmitted and having it to the teaching be alive because it's being carried to you, say, through the mail or the UPS service. there's different parts of the task that all still represent part of the process of transmission.
It is the process of transmission, and it's that starts to answer the question I posed to Piff last week, what is grace? And grace is the exercise of that transmission to the extent that we are able to so emanate. Okay? It's a matter of emanation. No.
Yeah, well, and there's somebody who is best suited, let's say, who has the skills and abilities to transmit the teaching through pottery, let's say, through artifacts that are made on the potter's wheel, through canvases like the canvases that Robert and Denise Way and Kelly Rivera are painting. Della, for that matter. Della Haywood.
And so they are, in that particular form, they are emanating part of the work. And for others, you emanate it with the bank clerk or the auto clerk that Mark had to deal with. That's the moment of your canvas right there and right then. And I remind us of the, I've made this mention a number of times, Exodus 3:5. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And as J.D. Salinger said, or his character says, it's like I'm moving from one piece of holy ground to another. That's in Franny and Zoe, I'm in the Zoe part. That's I'm moving from one piece of holy ground to another. This is not meant as an inspirational talk. This is meant as a pragmatic talk. I want to read two things from the sacrifice of comfort at the very, very end on page 162. And I'm very specific about why I'm reading it. One must never speak of love in connection with the work until one has passed beyond the level of sentimentality. One endures everything and everyone in silence, suffering and restraint by always attaching to this the intention to work. There is no better beginning method than this effort. Okay? So that's back on chapter sacrifice one, which is the sacrifice of comfort. But now we come to it in a different way, don't we? We come to it in a different way. The work is always a spiral. We pass the same moments over and over and over again. But we maybe change in our viewpoint. We change in our positioning. Okay? So when you package that DVD, if your intention and your hands are understanding what you're doing at that moment, that you're packaging it for a particular person that's going to open it up in a particular manner, you approach it in a different way, don't you?
Yeah, it's possible to do that.
It is possible to do that. Yeah. And we don't always aren't able to get ourselves there. I remember Bill DeGroote, after Bill DeGroote made the truffles for the truffle shop, and he used to be was it a Benedictine or Franciscan monk?
Franciscan
monk.
Yeah.
For 9 years, but then he was a chef, among other many other things, and he always said that when he was doing his truffles, he felt like he was making the equivalent of a communion wafer. Okay, so when you think of that kind of effort as you go through your day, and see who you come upon and who you're surprised by. Anything to read, Molly?
Molly says, oh yeah, there's things to read.
There are.
Right there. Hey, hang on. So someone said it resonates. So Simon says it somehow resonates with the idea of a tuning fork. Exactly what I'm talking about. Precisely. So if you, since you are now a, you know, an advanced beginning student, and you have the ability to get into the essential self, you can act as a tuning fork. You have that. You don't have to be reactive every single time. Okay? What else? Molly?
What have you got there, Jenna?
Well, then Fiona said,
So Pianjo and Silverdale are discussing the idea of emanation being the essential self emanating outward. So practice, 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 everyone.
How do we get to Carnegie Hall?
That's right. But it's possible. It's not like suddenly you're there and suddenly, you know, there's, you know, the current myth that's going around is that 10,000 hours of practice and then you become a competent master in an area. Well, 10,000 hours is a lot of time. It's time in grade that makes this stuff happen. The point is, you have the time and you're able to do it. Let's do it. What else, Molly? So some people receiving things from the packaging from the Institute that several people in this room do. Notice that. They notice it, actually notice the packaging itself as part of the event.
What is that? What was that comment there? Oh, but all right.
Yes, Grady Kansas. It is the human biological machine as a transformational apparatus.
We get a quote from Einstein?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can match the reality. Everything is energy, yeah, but it's undiscerned energy. It's through the effort of discernment that we can then offer up the highest to our fellow workers and our fellow citizens, in a sense, in the broader community, because we go through and suddenly we see somebody that is, in a certain way, dare I say, ripe to receive something. And you find yourself taking an extra moment with that person. Okay, anything else? Pretty much it for the moment. The heavy duty comments, the big lifters. Okay. So did we ever crack the mystery of what it means to the work schedule takes up one's entire day? I think we did. So you'll notice that the very last sentence there on page 220 is, one may take the role of the teacher, but the word teacher is a small, it's not capitalized. And it's just allowing the method to channel through oneself. Our job is to form the discernment so we can allow the particular, know that we're allowing the method, and it's not just another part of our ego that's coming through. And I'm always shocked by these seminars that are out there where people say, oh, just come and get this seminar, and then, because you have to give yourself permission to be who you really are. And I think about that and I go,
well,
what does that mean? Give yourself permission to be who you really are?
Actually, a good antidote to that, I like the that slogan picked up from somewhere, which is protect me from what I want.
Protect me from what I want. And really what that is when these things are, there's seminars that help you to say it's okay to be your ego in full bloom. But that's not the work we're doing. The work we're doing has something to do with discovering what is our signature as we go through there and go out. And sometimes we have to discover that for ourselves. What is a signature and how does it work? And that's what we can share then, one with another and with our fellow workers and our friends and those who reach out each to us. Okay? And even the other is sitting there, as Simon is telling us on the log, that is the other is an expression of the absolute at any moment. And yes, that's so true. So, what else?
Well,
who?
The labyrinth is my signature.
Yeah.
See, we're opening up. I think we're opening up a floodgate of discussion topics here, David.
Well, these are huge. They're huge topics. Now, Jen, you know, Pathworld says the labyrinth is her signature. This is an interesting person. I happen to know her. And on her property are two labyrinths. And for quote unquote for some reason, because it's actually not reason, she's been holding the space of giving labyrinth walks for people in the community there, not just the work community, so to speak, but anybody in the Riverside community.
People from the public.
The people from the public for 15 years.
15 years of labyrinth walking.
So for her, I don't know why, but that's what that particular unit responded to and continues to hold that space. So there you go.
Yeah, it's great. I'm enthusiastic about the signs and indications that come through
nice.
All the time in ordinary life when these opportunities are arising. So that has to do with paying attention to atmospheres, to mood, scent,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, codified information.
Movement.
You know, yeah, well, it seems to me that there's a certain feeling to that situation when you feel like you have an opening.
Yes, well put.
To engage someone in an essence.
So
report. Exchange in a more essential, process.
Moment for them.
Communication, yeah.
So report back your moments. If you see something like that occur during the day, during the next week or so, put it on the site so people know what you're talking about, what we're talking about here. You found that moment, and you didn't let it go by. You harvested the moment, and you've taken the time to spend with the other person in allowing the method to channel through you for the benefit of others. Read the paragraph again. Read the sacrifice. Go out and do it, and then put some of the comments up on the site, thewingsofchaos.com.
Do you want us to continue to comment under 12, David?
Yeah, comment that under
13.
Comment that under 12. I'll put up 13 in the next few days, and 13 is the sacrifice of health and the idea of it's super life. That's number 13. And somebody said to me, that we better start thinking about what the next book is going to be. And I did everything I could to ignore this person. But here I am mentioning it in public even. So we'll deal with that at some other horrible moment. Anyway, so I think we're about there. I'm not sure where our camera person is, but thank you for coming this Wednesday evening. And I look forward to seeing all of you again next week. And
we're like the guys on public radio. You've wasted another perfectly good hour with David and Ivan.
Thanks, David and Ivan, for leading us.
Thank you so much, George. Thank you, Simon, as well. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.